Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Now, I just want to remind those of you that call North Point home, and for those of you that maybe this is your first time or your first few times to be with us, here at North Point, we don't exist just to make your Sunday better. We exist to make your Monday better, okay? This is not a Sunday church. This is a Monday church. This is not a church where we just talk about going to heaven one day. This is a church where we talk about how to get heaven into your today, okay? And here is the reason why. Is because we don't want you just to get excited on Sunday. We want you to be equipped for your Monday. We want you to be equipped and empowered for your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday. We're not just here so that you can come and have a good experience and get excited. You know, because I spent a lot of years coaching football. And here's what I know. I saw a lot of teams get hype in a locker room and then get hammered on a field. And I'm not interested in you getting really hype on Sunday and going out and then getting hammered on a Monday. Okay. That life just overwhelms you and life takes you down. No. I want us to get equipped. I want us to be inspired. I want us to be empowered because it's not about the locker room. It's about what happens on the field. It's not about what happens even in this moment. It's about what we do when we carry this moment into our future, into this week and into the remainder of this year. And that's who we are here at North Point. We're not a Sunday church. Now, we love Sunday church. We think it's vitally important. Actually, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But the reason why we gather is because we know that Monday is going to have its own challenges. And Tuesday is going to bring its own adversity. And Wednesday is going to have problems that need to be solved. And we need to be empowered and equipped to live out this God-centered life. And so here in 2023 at North Point, we have said that this is our year of
legacy.
That's right, it's our year of legacy. And our motto for the year is this: live the legacy that you want to leave. Live the legacy that you want to leave. And this is the reality, is that everybody leaves a legacy. Why do we say that? Because everybody leaves a story. And your legacy is simply the story that people tell about the person that you were and the difference that you made in their lives and in the world. And there is going to be a story about your life. And the story that people tell is your legacy. And I believe that people want to leave a positive story. I believe that just most people want to leave a great legacy. If you said, hey, do you want to leave a positive story with your family, a positive story in your school, a positive story in your community? Do you want to leave a great legacy? There, people are going to say yes, but leaving a great legacy, it takes more than just desire. It takes more than just desire. And as we are in this series in August talking about legacy, this is kind of our big idea and our big thought. It is this: that your intense desire to leave a legacy must be followed by an intentional design to create a legacy. It's not enough to have an intense desire to leave a legacy. I have to have an intentional design that helps me to create that legacy that I ultimately want to leave. Because here's the reality: you will leave what you lived. It's the only thing you can leave. You will leave what you lived. And I think that all of us would be willing to admit that if we could make the right decisions just based off desire, then we would have avoided some of the situations that we have found ourselves in. If just my desire and want to, if I could have just made decisions off of that, I'd have made better decisions, right? Because I really wanted that. I had a desire for that. But here's what we know. We found ourselves in some situations. We found ourselves in some circumstances because I did not get what I desired. I got what I designed. So if I'm really going to live life the way that I can leave behind this legacy, I cannot just stop with desire. I have to have design. This is what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 19. He says, the one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. And if you remember, we looked at this scripture in Philippians last week. The Apostle Paul, leader in the early church, he's writing to the church at Philippi. And this is what he says. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing. Everybody say, keep on growing. That lets us know that we never stop. That we keep on growing in knowledge. And we keep on growing in understanding. Why? Because Solomon said, the one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. Okay? That word prosper means to live in a thriving, flourishing, and successful condition. So the Apostle Paul is writing. He says, hey, I'm praying for you, and I want you to keep gaining knowledge, and I want you to keep gaining understanding, because the Apostle Paul understands that whenever we are gaining understanding, it is leading us to prospering in our lives, in every area of our lives. And then he comes along with this in verse 10, and he says, for I want you to understand what really matters. I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives. Paul is connecting here what our understanding to our doing. He's connecting our understanding. He says, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live in a certain way, because you will never live above and beyond your understanding. So if you don't understand what is really important, and you don't understand what we should be doing, if there's not understanding, then our decisions are not going to be what they should be. So he says, I want you to understand what really matters so that you might live this way. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, I want you to see the difference. I want you to be able to see the difference between what's important and what's not, because there's a lot of things in our world that are not important. There's a lot of things that exist within society. They're not important. Paul says, I want you to be able to see the difference between what's important and what's not. And then I want you to be able to choose what is most important. And so as we talk through today about this desire and design, we could start with this idea, is that because both are vitally important. So I'm not saying design is better than desire. Or that desire is greater than that. They are both essential. They are both very important. Important because we could say it this way, that desire starts the fire. I gotta have the desire. I've gotta have the desire to change, the desire to be transformed. I have to have the desire for God. I've gotta have the desire for what he wants for me. I have to have the desire. Desire is what starts the fire. But here's the thing with design. Design takes time. So the desire starts the fire, but my life design is going to take time. Desire is about passion, but design is about a pattern. Both are essential. I've got to have the passion and the fuel, but then I've got to have the pattern that is going to help me bring this thing out of me in this life. And I only think it's, you know, it's appropriate. Once again, we're in August, and what happens in August? Football starts, right? Okay, and so, I mean, last week we had a quote from a football coach. We're going to have another one this week, because I just think it's important that we honor the season, right? We honor this right this time right now. And I mean, some churches you can find quotes from theologians. You come here, you get football coaches, okay? And that's just what it is. But there was an interview with Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is the 2-time Super Bowl winning coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is what Mike Tomlin said. He said, the tedious repetition of routine actions makes us great. The tedious repetition of routine actions makes us great. And then he went on and explained. He says, there are certain things that we have to do every day that might not be interesting, but they are very necessary. They might not be interesting. They might not be thrilling, but they are absolutely necessary if we want to win. Well, here's what I would say. For Mike Tomlin, he's talking about winning on the football field, but you could translate this into any area of your life. You want to win in marriage? You want to win in parenting? You want to win in following Jesus? Whatever it is, whatever you are trying to achieve, this thing that you are going after, this is the reality. The tedious repetition of routine actions is what makes us great. I told the story not too long ago of Kobe Bryant. And somebody got to go watch Kobe Bryant work out, right? His legendary 4 a.m. workouts. And they got to sit in there and watch Kobe Bryant work out. But they were amazed that he never did anything other than the basic elementary fundamental drills of basketball for an entire 90-minute workout. And when the guy had an opportunity to speak with Kobe Bryant later that afternoon in a camp they were working, he said, "Hey, I watched you work out this morning." He said, "I noticed like you were doing the exact same drills that my middle school daughter, like they do the exact same drills, all the fundamentals." He says, and Kobe Bryant winked at him and he said, and told him, "And people can't figure out why I'm the best player in the world. It's because I never get bored with the basics. I never get bored with the basics." What did he understand? It's the tedious repetition of routine action that actually makes us great. And says, that quote was so good, I thought we might as well have another one from him because the interview was fantastic. And this is what he said. He said, "I tell our guys all the time, make routine plays routinely. Make routine plays routinely." And then he explained. He said, "What makes a great pro is not the spectacular play." He said, that's what most people think. He said, "But what makes a great pro is not the spectacular play. What makes a great pro is they always make the routine play. It's not that they are flashy and they can use their gift and their athleticism." He says, "It's that they show up every day and they make the routine play." Well, once again, let's just take that off of the football field and let's just bring that into life. If you want to be great in life, you want to succeed in life, you want to win in life, guess what you got to do? You got to make the routine plays routinely. Oh, you can't just have that amazing vacation one week out of the year. That's 1 week. You got 51 more weeks to go. Right? You got to make the routine plays routinely. You got to make the routine plays routinely. And for us, understanding what is important and choosing that every day, that is one of those tedious repetitions of routine actions that will make our life and our legacy great. If you want to be a great mother, you want to be a great father, you want to be a great spouse, if you want to be a great Jesus follower, if you want to be a great leader, if you want to be a great business owner, no matter what you want to do, if you want to be great, there is one guarantee. It will take the tedious repetition of routine action. Because that is the only way that we get there. So the question then becomes this, right? What does the tedious repetition look like for us as Jesus followers, as people that want to build the kingdom of God on the earth? What does this tedious repetition of routine action, what does it look like for us? What do I need a design for that will help me build a life that I have a desire for? What do I need a design for that will help me build a life that I have a desire for? Remember that design, that word design, it means to plan and fashion artistically or skillfully, meaning that it's not just going to happen. There's not going to just be a design that falls out of heaven by happenstance. No, you're going to have to put a plan together, and it's going to have to be skillfully and artistically put together. Why artistically? Because it's going to look a little different for all of us. It's got to be skillful, but because we're all putting this thing together. And so here's what I would say is that each and every one of us, we all need a distinct plan to grow, because that's what the Apostle Paul wrote, right? He said, this is what I'm praying for you. I am praying for you that you would grow in wisdom, that you would grow in knowledge, that you would grow in your understanding. Well, here's what we know. We don't just grow on our own. No, we have to get into a process that is going to create growth. So let me just share something quickly before we move on, and that is what I refer to as the growth cycle. Okay, so as we talk about today, where do we need to go? How do we grow? What happens in the growth cycle? Well, in the growth cycle, all growth starts with awareness. Okay, some of you have seen this before. I've shown it to you before. But all growth starts with awareness. When I become aware, when my awareness is elevated, God awareness, self-awareness, whatever that is, when my awareness goes up, now out of that awareness, it forces me into an evaluation. And I begin to evaluate myself. I begin to evaluate my life. I begin to evaluate my relationships. I begin to evaluate my financial strategies. Whatever it is, an awareness. I get new knowledge, new information. That information turns internal to a revelation. I start to evaluate my life off of this information and revelation that I now have. And then out of evaluation, I move into practice. Practice meaning that I put something else into practice. But here's what we know. When I put something else into practice that's brand new, I'm going to have to practice that thing because I'm not going to be good at it. So practice works both ways. I got to put something new into practice, and then I got to practice what I practice. And then as I begin to practice that, guess what happens? Now my awareness for that thing even goes up. That's why the longer you stay in relationship with God, guess what? The more you know about God. Because you get a level of awareness, you evaluate something off of that, now you put something new into practice, now what happens? And when you put that into practice, now, whoo, all of a sudden, you get a brand new epiphany about who God is and what God can do and how great he really is. And it's like, whoo, okay, and that's why it's a cycle, because it never stops. It never, ever stops. So we have to have a plan for the areas of our life where we need to grow. We need a plan to raise our awareness. Because we have to create evaluation. Why? Because we need to be doing something different than we were doing today. And listen, if anybody in this place is perfect and you're without flaws or mistakes, okay, if you are in this place and that is you, then you can ignore this. But everybody else needs to pay attention. And if you think you're that person, just talk to your spouse. They'll tell you. Okay. All right, let me just give you two areas today. Two areas, and it's two, you know, I normally do three, right? But we're in football season. Last week we had four because it's four quarters, right? Today we have two halves, first half, second half, okay? So I only have 2 points today. We're keeping this thing. I mean, it's August, okay? It's August. Let's do it. Hey, two areas that we need to grow in our knowledge and understanding. Here's the first way. We need to grow in our knowledge of God. We need to grow in our knowledge of God. How do we do that? We do that by design. What does that design look like? Well, let's start with number one. It starts with the Bible, okay? All right, it starts with the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I love it in the Message translation. It says this. It says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live God's way. You can see the entire growth cycle in that right there. Your awareness, why? It shows you truth. Now I have a greater awareness about what is actually true. I have a greater awareness about God and his kingdom. And when my awareness goes up, I begin to evaluate. What happens when I evaluate? It exposes my own rebellion. And then it exposes my mistakes. Now I get to do what? I get to correct those mistakes by beginning to come over and practice something different. What am I practicing? I'm actually practicing God's way. So this is the growth cycle. When I get into the Bible, I see something, I evaluate it. Now I begin to actually practice it. I'm not going to be good at it, but if I hang in there, I'll get better at it. He says, through the word, we are put together and shaped for the task God has for us. So it is through the Bible, through the word of God, that we grow, that we are formed, and that we are shaped for this life that God intends for us to live. Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he had been fasting for 40 days. And then the scripture tells us that he comes, he's tempted by Satan. And the first temptation, after fasting for 40 days, Satan tempts Jesus, says, hey, turn these stones into bread. Matthew chapter 4, this is Jesus' response. Jesus says, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. People don't live on bread alone. Do you need to eat? Yeah, Jesus is not saying don't eat. He says, but we don't live on bread alone. There is something else. We live on the word of God. Why? Because the word of God nourishes our soul. Yes. Listen, you got a skincare routine that nourishes your skin, right? You got a self-care routine that replenishes you, your attitude, right? Right? You got a physical routine that replenishes you and nourishes you. You eat food, you sleep, you do the things. But here was what I would say. What is your soul care routine? Right? So Jesus says, no, it's the word of God that nourishes your soul. So if my skin looks great, right? And I get in the gym for self-care and my muscles are strong, but my soul is dehydrated and my soul is weak, I'm not going to be able to live the life that God intended for me to live. Right? So I have to get in the Bible, in the word of God, because it is what nourishes my soul. And in the Gospels, right? In the Gospels, that's the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the four books of the Bible that tell the life of Jesus here on this earth. And this is what we find in there, is that Jesus is teaching, and so many times Jesus is teaching in these things called parables. And a parable is just a short story, right? That uses like everyday situations and events to convey deeper spiritual truths. Jesus says things like this: the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he makes some connection to something that we know about, money, farming, right? Something that we can understand. And so he's breaking what the kingdom of heaven is like down into something that we can understand, because God wants you to understand how the kingdom works. He wants you to understand how God works. He wants you to understand who God is. And so Jesus is giving us this pathway to gain knowledge of God through his words. And now listen, sometimes you can pick up the Bible and be like, oh my God, like it's intimidating, right? I mean, it's like so much, and it's like 66 different books. And I mean, you know, if you just think, okay, well, I'm just going to kind of open it up and I'll just start, and you just don't really know what you're doing, and you just flip open to Leviticus, right? And you start in chapter 19 of Leviticus, because that's where the Bible fell to. Like, you're going to be like, I don't know if the Bible's for me, right? I don't. But we need the Bible because it nourishes our soul. Yes. Listen to me. I don't care how many times you've tried to read the Bible and failed, try again. Come on, Coach. Come on. Yes. I don't care how many times you said, I'm going to do it, and then you stop. Do it again. If you say, I don't really know where to start, start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read through those. Yes. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about Jesus' life. Read the words of Jesus. The Bible, we need to know God. Here's the second place where we can get to know God, and that is through books. Not just the Bible, but through books. Here's the big thought. People know what I'm trying to learn. And people have gone where I'm trying to go. But I can't learn what they know or go where they've gone if I don't read their book. The amazing thing about books is that people take their best lessons and their biggest revelations and they put it in 200 pages for you. It took them a lifetime to learn it, and it only takes you 7 hours to read it. It took them 20 years and you could do it in 2 days. And they are writing down their very best thoughts and their very best practices and their very best ideas. They are giving you their best. Nobody writes like their leftovers and puts it in a book and tries to sell it. They're giving you top shelf. I mean, they're giving you like that Wagyu beef, right? I mean, you ain't just getting, I mean, they're giving you the best of the best. Why? Because they're trying to sell books and make money. All right, they are giving you, it took them years to get that, and it takes you hours to get it. I love what Mark Twain says. He says, the man who does not read has no advantage over the man who cannot read. You have to read. Why? Because there's people that know what you need to know. There are people who have already gone where you want to go. And you've got to get in the books and learn what they have learned so that you can grow and go where they have gone. And now the same thing with the Bible can be the same thing with a book, because some of these books are big. And people are like, oh, you need to read this book, right? And then you go to Amazon, right? You go to Amazon, you look at it, you're like, oh, okay. And you kind of scroll down and you see pages, 297. You just keep scrolling, right? Go back to Instagram, right? You're like, I can't read 297 pages. Look, well, you have two options. You have two options. Number one, okay, start with a small book, okay? Build your confidence, okay? There's a lot of really good small books out there. Get you a small one. Read that one. Feel good about yourself. It'll build your confidence for the next one. Or here's the other thing. When you look at the big book, don't look at the book. Just look at the next 10 pages. You don't have to look at all 297. You can just look at the first seven. And I'm just going to read those first seven. Because sometimes the book intimidates us. It's like they say, right? How do you eat an elephant, right? Just one bite at a time. How do you read a big book? Just one sitting at a time. Whether that's 10 pages or 10 minutes, that's how you get the information. Right, so I've got to. But listen. I don't know about you, but Amazon just doesn't send you books because you got a desire to grow. Right, they're not just sending you books. You know, nobody's coming over to you like your kindergarten teacher to read you a book at night. Okay, that's not going to happen. If you're going to get the book, you got to have a design to get the book, and then you got to have a design to read the book. So you got your Bible, you got books. Here's a third thing, real quickly, and that is podcasts. If you want to grow in this spiritual journey, I'm just giving you practical design right here. Practical design today, podcasts. If you want to grow in your faith, listen to good preachers. Instead of listening to talk radio or that Taylor Swift album for the 789th time. Instead of doing that, listen to a sermon. Listen to a sermon. The most amazing thing I've discovered in life is that God speaks when I give him an opportunity. Now, God's not limited my opportunity. God can speak to you however he wants, but I've just found that God speaks more the more opportunities that I give. But it takes a design. Because as much as I would like for the Holy Spirit to come out of heaven, and when I get in my car, the Holy Spirit just reaches down and boop, hits play. It doesn't happen that way. If I want to play a podcast, I got to download the podcast. I got to hit play when I get in my car. That's the only way that it works. But the amazing thing about the podcast now is that they're all free. All it costs you is your time, not your dime. But I remember when it wasn't that way. I remember when I was pleading and begging with my mom when I was in high school, please, mom, buy me that last series that T.D. Jakes preached, and it was coming in a cassette tape. My mom's right there. She'll testify to it. Mom, please. My mom's like, son, that's $40 for six cassette tapes. Are you sure? I'm like, mom, you got to get it for me. I mean, some people want all kinds of, I wanted to hear T.D. Jakes preach. And I would listen to those messages until the tape stuff in there start breaking apart, right? I mean, I would listen so many times that I would be preaching right along with T.D. Jakes. I knew what he was about to say before he even said it. And I would just be preaching right alongside. And when he said, turn to your neighbor, nobody in my car, I would turn to my neighbor, touch three people. I'm touching. And everybody in the back say, ain't nobody there. But those sermons shaped me. Those sermons shaped me. You have to give God these moments by design. Listen to people who know God, talk about God. And the more you listen, the more you will know. And the more you know, the more you have a chance to grow. Here's the fourth way that you can grow in your knowledge of God, and that's prayer. Right, prayer. We've talked about the Bible, and we've talked about books and podcasting in it, but then there's just also this other way that we grow, and that is just by spending time with God. Now, here's the thing about prayer. Prayer needs two things. Prayer needs a plan and a pattern, okay? It needs a plan. When I talk about a plan, you have to have a plan to make it happen. When I say plan, like think planner, okay? Because you got to have a time and a place. That's your plan for prayer. I need a time and I need a place. Where am I going to pray and when am I going to pray? Because I have often had a desire to pray and never actually prayed. Why? Because I didn't set a time to pray and I didn't set a place to pray. And I went around going, okay, I'll just figure it out. And if I just try to figure it out, 3 months have gone by and I'm like, man, I still ain't prayed and I still ain't, right? Because you got to have a time and a place. You got to have a plan. But there's something else that you need for prayer, and that is a pattern. Because I can set it on my planner and say, okay, I'm going to pray at 6 a.m. and I'm going to pray in this chair right here in this corner, and this is going to be my place and this is going to be my time. But then I show up in that chair at 6 a.m. and I'm like, oh God, what do you say now? I got to have a pattern. I got to have a pattern. How am I going to pray? Definitely if you're not experienced in prayer, I need a pattern. Well, I created this little acrostic for the word pray a long time ago. And this is the acrostic. You got to make it personal. This is the main thing. Your first pattern, your first thought process whenever you pray is it's got to be personal. I am having a one-on-one conversation with an intimate father. It's personal. When it's personal, it means you can use your words and your verbiage and however you want to talk. You don't have to pray like I pray, Destiny prays, Clarissa prays. You don't have to you don't have to pray like your previous pastor. You don't have to put all the thighs and shouts and not. You don't have to pray all that. You can just talk to God however you talk. It's personal. Okay, so that's where we start, but then we move into these three things, and that is to remember. Remember the goodness of God. This is a moment of gratitude when you begin to remember and say, God, you saved me. God, thank you. You've blessed me. God, thank you for my family. God, just begin to remember. Remember what you have. Remember what God has done. It creates gratitude. And then we move into to ask. Then start asking God. This is just your pattern. Give God thanks. And then ask God for what you need. God, give me peace in my heart today. God, I'm experiencing anxiety. God, I'm worried about my kids. God, give me peace today. God, I got this meeting later this afternoon. This is for a big contract. God, I need your favor on this. God, I need you to be with me, God. I need you to bless the work of my hands and the work of my life. Whatever it is that you need, ask God for it. And then always when you finish that prayer, yield. Yield to the Lordship of Christ. Yield to his will and his way. Yield to him. God, this is your day. I am your servant. I am here for your glory. I am here for your purpose. God, I am yielding to whatever you want for me today. God, I yield to you. Yes. Yes. It's just a pattern. So when I walk into praying, I know, okay, I got to make this personal, and I'm remembering and I'm asking and I'm yielding. Now all of a sudden I have confidence in that place of prayer. And then here's one thing that we can find, right, is that when we're talking about reading, right? We're talking about reading a book or a Bible. We're talking about listening to a podcast, or we're talking about prayer, right? There often comes this excuse of like, man, I just don't have time. I just don't have time for that, man. I mean, I got kids and work and responsibilities, and like I'm running crazy, man. You start talking to me about reading my Bible and reading a book and having time for prayer. Like, how in the world? I can't even fit what I gotta get in my day. And now you're trying to throw all this in my day. How in the world am I going to do that? Okay, well, I was coaching an executive, and this was her problem. She's like, man, I'm just so busy. She's like, I don't know how I'm going to grow. She's like, I know I need to grow. I want to grow, but I don't know how I'm going to grow. These are just simple things. I'm just giving you some things to start your mind. And this is what I said. I said, well, do you drive to work? She said, yeah. I said, well, how far do you drive? She says, it takes me about 10 or 15 minutes to get to work. I said, okay, well, what do you do in those 10 or 15 minutes? She says, I listen to LSU Sport Talk Radio. I said, okay, good. I said, well, how about this? Why don't we do this? Why don't I send you a couple podcasts, and instead of listening to sports talk radio, why don't you start listening to that podcast? What was her first response? It's only 10 minutes. Well, I mean, what is Timothy? This is literally what she's saying, right? And I had like a 90% chance I knew what she was going to say. And so she said, that's only 10 minutes. What good is 10 minutes going to do? I said, okay, oh yeah, I hear what you're saying. I understand that. I said, do you drive home from work? Right? I know the answer, right? I'm just baiting her, right? Do you drive home from work? She says, yes. I said, okay, so that's 20 minutes on the short end, right? I mean, it could be longer, but let's just go short. It's 20 minutes a day, right? Okay. Okay, so if you did 20 minutes a day, I said, do you go to work 5 days a week? Well, yeah, I go to work 5 days a week. Okay, so that's 20 minutes. What's 20 times five? That's 100. That's 100 minutes a week. Whew. Man, 100 minutes, we're talking almost 2 hours. Almost 2 hours. I said, you probably have to work, 48, 50 weeks a year, right? So, I mean, you probably work all month, most months, right? Yeah. Okay, so 4 weeks in a month. So that's, whew. And when she thought, I don't have time. Now, all of a sudden, I gave her some podcasts. Listen to this. This is how powerful this is. She listened, and I said, hey, at the end of the week, I want you to report back to me. So she goes, Monday through Friday. And look, here's the deal. I even, like, compromise with her. I say, you don't even have to do it on the way home, okay? If you want Sports Talk Radio, just listen on the way home. You just dedicate this time in the morning to start. And so she started with just in the morning. But then what happens is when you start listening to podcasts and you start getting information and revelation, then when you get back in your car, guess what you don't want? You don't want LSU Sports Talk Radio. You want to finish what you heard on the way to work. And so I just told her, just do the morning. By the end of the week, she was doing the morning and the afternoon. She had listened to two full episodes of two podcasts, and she started telling me about what she heard in this episode and how she had already implemented in her family and the impact that it was already making. And we were just rolling into the second week of this. And so before she's like, I don't have time. My point is this: you have more time than you think you do whenever you start looking for it. It's there. It's there. I'm not saying you just got an abundance of it, but it's there. And whenever you find 10 minutes, don't say, oh, I mean, come on, what is 10 minutes going to do? 10 minutes can change your life. Because it's that tedious repetition of routine action. It's what I do when I get in my car. This is what I do. And so no matter where I'm driving, this is what I'm doing. Here's the last one, and we're gonna wrap up. I told you I had two things. I'm only going to get to one today. Maybe next week I'll finish the second one. But here's our knowledge of God. How do you grow in the knowledge of God? And that's church. It's church. Just showing up here. Do you know we're here every Sunday, right? I mean, I'm just letting you know we are here every Sunday. Not just the ones you show up. We're actually here every Sunday. And here's what we're doing. We're always here learning about God and journeying toward God together in community. Because what I share with you, it is either something that I have learned or something that I am currently learning about God, about his kingdom, about his will, about his word, about his work in the earth. And so for you, if you want to grow in faith, there's some ways you can do that. We got Growth Track happening right now after this. Like, man, go to Growth Track. Just jump in there, learn more about church, God, yourself, everything. It's all going to be happening there. We're going to be kicking off groups in just a few weeks for the fall semester. If you say, I am really serious about growing in my knowledge of God, then you need to get into close relationship with people who are serious like you are. I used to coach with a coach that used to say, there ain't no pressure like peer pressure. And so you put yourself in circles with other people who are saying, hey, I have the same desire. And then you help each other in creating this design to gain knowledge about God. You're journeying together. And if you're serious about growing in your faith journey, yeah, go to Growth Track. Yeah, get in groups. But then just do this simple thing of make Sunday morning a priority. Because here we're going to come together and we're going to sing and we're going to get in the presence of God. And Destiny's going to come up here, and Destiny's going to do something amazing in the transition, and she's going to just do her own thing, and it's completely off script, and nobody had a plan for it, and it's going to be just incredible and amazing, and God could speak to you through that, or I'm going to get up here and do exactly what I planned to do. I'm not going to go off script at all. I'm going to say every single word I've written down, almost nothing more than that, and God can also speak through that. We gather together. Why? Because we say we want to grow in our knowledge of God. And that happens when we come together. I'll close with this thought from Pastor Craig Crochelle. And he said this. He said, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Don't get twisted up on the word success. This doesn't mean you're living in a big house, you drive. Success is just the accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. That's all it is. I know there's some things in your life that you're trying to aim for. I know so there's some purposes that you're trying to achieve. There's some purposes that you're trying to accomplish. And he says, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. So if we want to be great in our knowledge of God, in our pursuit of God, and being the best Jesus follower that we can be, we've got to make a commitment to the Bible. We've got to make a commitment to learning from other people who have learned through books. We need to make a commitment to podcasts and listening to people talk about God who know God. We've got to make that commitment. There needs to be a commitment to prayer where we get in God's presence and we say, God, I just want to be with you because I want to know more about you. And then we make a commitment to church. We make a commitment to being a part of a group. We make a commitment to these things. And then we do them consistently. Because I don't want to do occasionally. I don't want the results of occasionally. I want the results of consistently. Remember, we are creating our legacy. And your legacy is not going to be based on what you did occasionally. Your legacy is going to be based off of what you did consistently. So let's make sure we are doing what we need to be doing. What do we need to be doing? We need to be doing what's most important. That you would understand what's most important. That you would be able to see what's important and what's not. And that you would be able to choose what is most important. Our knowledge of God is most important. So let's do that consistently. And let's grow in this area of our knowledge of God. Next week, I'm going to be talking about this second point. And that is this. That is this idea of growing in the understanding of ourself. Because if you know God, but you don't know you, you can have all types of Bible intelligence, but no emotional intelligence. And all you're doing is just making life hard. You're making it harder than it needs to be. So not only do we need to know God, we need to know ourselves. We need to know ourselves, and we'll be talking about that next week. Come on, I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want you to just bow your head just for a moment. Oh, we can throw the lead acrostic up there. Somebody's going to yell at me for not putting the lead acrostic up there. Go ahead and throw the lead up there. You can take a picture of it right before we pray. Look, it's just legacy takes more than desire, takes design. And if you were here last week and you think, man, that looks familiar, it's the exact same as it was last week. Is the current design of my life building the legacy I desire to leave? That's my evaluation. Is the current design, is what I'm doing right now creating what I want to create? If that's not happening, then what do we need to do? The application is just change one choice this week. Listen, I gave you a lot. You ain't got to do it all. Listen to me. You think, oh God, so I got to read my Bible. I got to find a pocket. Oh, and by the way, whenever you leave today, we got a resource sheet for you. So we're giving you some of our staff's favorite podcasts, books, everything. We've got a resource sheet. So you're not even have to go, oh, I don't even know where to start. I'm putting something in your hand. Just start there. You don't have to be overwhelmed. Okay, so I got to read my Bible. I got to read the books. I got to pray. I got to do this. I got to. No. Just do one. Just start with one. Just change one choice this week. Just start reading the Bible. Hey, if the Bible intimidates you, start reading a book about the Bible. Start easy. Just move your way all right on in. That's fine. Start wherever you feel the most comfortable. Let's start moving toward God. Let's grow in our knowledge of God. I want you to bow your heads now. Father, thank you for your word. God, we do not want to be people who go through life who just have a desire to leave a legacy. We want to have a design to create a legacy. So if we are going to create a godly legacy, we need knowledge about you. We need knowledge about your kingdom. We need knowledge about your will and about your way. God, we need knowledge. So God, we pray that we would begin to create a design in our life, not just passion for you, but a pattern to become like you. That's what we want. Not just a passion for you, but a pattern to be like you. God, help us create this design. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. You say, Philip, that's what I want in my life. I don't want to get stuck just with the desire. I want a design. Now listen, you might not have any of those designs in your life. You might just show up to church occasionally, but you're here today. Thank God for that. I'm so incredibly proud of you. You might not have read your Bible in the last 7 years of your life. You can't remember the last book or podcast that you read or that you listened to, right? All those things, you may be so far away, but today you say, Philip, this is what I want. I want to create a design. I'm going to start where I am, and I'm going to create a design that will leave a legacy that I ultimately desire to leave. If that's you today, you say, Philip, that's what I want for my life. I want to create a design for what I ultimately desire. I want to create a design for what I ultimately desire. If that's you right there where you are, come on, just lift up your hands. Just a sign between you and God. Nobody looking around. It's not between you and your neighbor, just between you and your creator. You're just saying, God, that's what I want. I want to walk through this process of gaining knowledge of you. I want this design of growing in my knowledge and understanding of who you are. Come on, with those hands lifted right now. Will you just repeat this prayer after me all over this place? Everybody say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I am ready to create a design that will create a life that will leave a legacy that I desire to leave. Father, I thank you for every person in this place that just prayed that prayer. We start with desire, but we don't stop there. Desire starts the fire, but we create a design over time. That causes us to grow in our knowledge, in our wisdom, in our understanding of who you are, of who we are, and of what you want to do in us and through us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody in the room said amen. Come on, let's welcome Pastor Chris as she comes.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.